Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. History on the table today. We welcome back our favorite historian, Catherine Sheehan, Executive Director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City Historian. A native of Troy, Kathy has lectured on various local history topics, including Uncle Sam, the Underground Railroad, public health, women's suffrage, agriculture, lots of stuff. If you have a question about regional history, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop at wamc.org. Voxpop at WAMC.org or 800-348-2551. Kathy Sheehan, history and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's History Today, and joining us once again is Catherine Sheehan, Executive Director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City Historian, a native of Troy. Kathy's career at the museum began when she was an intern from the Public History Program at SUNY Albany. She has lectured on many local history topics. She's appeared on national and international TV. She's been an advisor for HBO's production, The Gilded Age, already. She can often be seen giving tours throughout downtown Troy and Oakwood Cemetery, which is an amazing place in itself. It's always great to have her on the show. The number to call if you have a history question, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop at wamc.org if you wish. Kathy Sheehan, how are you?
Good afternoon, Ray. Nice to see you back from vacation.
Oh, yeah.
You look well rested.
I'm still remembering how to do the show. It'll be another week or so before I figured it out. It's great to have you here, though.
Thanks.
You've been busy?
I have been busy.
What are you up to?
Well, we're up to getting ready for all the new exhibits and things for the fall. We just actually installed an exhibit about the actor Maureen Stapleton, who was from Troy. And she's one of the earlier actors who received an Emmy and an Oscar and a Golden Globe, one of those EGOT winners. But the other thing she didn't end up with was a Grammy Award.
Oh, really?
She was nominated for.
Not much of a singer then?
I think she did sing, actually. But so we have, of course, she was from Troy, actually just not a few blocks away from Russell Sage College down on First Street. And so we did a big exhibit at her in 2012, and then that kind of garnered some more collections that have come in the last couple of years. And this would have been her 100th birthday.
All right. And her estate was on board with all of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. No, I've chatted with her daughter, Catherine, and her son, Daniel, a lot. And then we have a couple of local fans, Bill Carey from Troy and Ron Jacobs, who lives here in Albany, not too far from the station. Both of them have been huge movie buffs and theater buffs, and so they've given us some great programs. So that's been fun. We just installed that exhibit and getting ready to do some quilts this fall.
Quilts.
All right. Yeah.
And that's another collection that you have.
Another collection.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just it. You pick a material, and we have collections.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you put it all?
Oh, well, we have three buildings on our site,
and
it is stuffed into every nook and cranny that we can think of, and frankly, we're out of space, so,
I was reading an article on artwork, masters, great artwork, and the comment was made in this, and I don't know if it's true, but a sizable percentage of the great art is in back rooms at some of these big museums, and you don't see them very often.
About every museum only shows about 15% of their collection at any one time.
Same for you guys?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. For us, the little guys and the big guys, we all kind of a medium size.
What's the advantage of keeping it then? I mean, if you're never going to show it, why have it?
Well, first, some things are for research purposes. So we have huge research library. And just take two of the biggest collections that we have in research library, the Clute and Peabody Company archives, which is the Amecos of Arrow shirts. And the other one is the papers that belong to the Bird and Iron Works, which was, of course, a huge, they made all the horseshoes to the Union Army, things like that. So that kind of two-dimensional, the two library collections that take up a lot of linear square feet. It's mostly used for research. But there are pieces that do come out for exhibitions and things like that. Or another institution might borrow some of your work for different things. But yeah, it's true. I mean, you just can't, you know, and I think it's one of the misnomers when people donate things like, oh, we want to see this on display. It's like, we can't promise that.
So people, I could, if I had a collection of lint or something and said, oh, I got this lint going back to the 1800s and I want to donate it to you, there's a process for that?
There absolutely is a process. And I would say 99% of the museums that are around have a process for that. And we have a full kind of a collections management policy where one of the best things is I want a good story. I mean, you know, we could have this, you know, coffee cup and it could be just a coffee cup like everybody else. But, you know, was it a coffee cup that maybe Alexander Hamilton happened to use or something? You know, what's the story behind the cup or who had it? Was it made in Rensselaer County or over here in Albany County, you know, depending on where you are? So it's got to answer more than one question before we're going to accept something into the collection. And also, if something is really... really, really in bad shape. I mentioned quilts.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people go, oh, I have this quilt, but it's so frayed and they're so worn. And we're never going to be able to exhibit. And we're never going to be able to kind of have the money to conserve something like that. Those things cost thousands of dollars. We can't accept that. It's not responsible to accept it.
Catherine Sheehan's our guest, the executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and Rensselaer County and Troy City historian. The number here, if you have a history question, is 800-348-2551. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. So I bring my lint collection going back 300 years of classic lint.
Classic.
How do you gently tell someone, we don't really need this?
Very nicely.
Yeah.
We appreciate that they have hung on to it. We usually try and find another place, say, you know, maybe there's a lint museum. I mean, you've traveled around, you know, you see the
barely.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like the big ball of twine, you know, you think of Chevy Chase's The Vacation movies, you know, they go see the big ball of twine and you go from here and there. And so there are places that collect very specific things. Well, give them a call. Costumes. A lot of people have, this was my mother's, you know, wedding dress. This was my mother, da, da, da. And how many christening gowns and wedding dresses can you collect? Well, you can't. But maybe theater groups want it. You know, like Russell Sage College has a big theater program.
Yeah.
Some of the other schools, Skidmore, you know, or theater groups, you know, the Washington Park places. They could use it. So
do you ever get calls? I know that you have advised on the Gilded Age and things like that. Do you ever get calls from movie companies and say, we need something, this specific item for our production?
Sometimes. We actually, you know, I don't know who the crew is. Well, I do know some of them. But that found all the pieces of small things that they used in all these houses and historic sites that they had. And so they just have a warehouse full of stuff.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we actually did for Age of Innocence, there were a couple of landscape paintings when they filmed that with Martin Scorsese's film in 1993 that we actually put, and it was filmed two doors up north of us in what's known as the castle.
Yeah.
So we did lend a couple of paintings. We don't tend to lend furniture that we don't want people sitting on the furniture.
Right.
If you have an important piece, you can't have people sitting on it.
Exactly.
So,
you know, you don't have to answer this question, Kathy Sheehan, but when the Scorsese film, they needed a couple of paintings, do they throw you a couple of bucks for the museum?
Absolutely.
Oh, they do?
Oh, sure.
So it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
That's
why. And you know what was really cool about that was that we actually were able to get the frame repaired. So things that are related directly to the collection, we have a separate fund. So things like that go into our collection, and they're used for that purpose.
What's the craziest thing someone brought in, said, I have this X collection.
Oh,
do you want it?
I got to think about it.
I know.
You put me on the spot on that one. There's so many interesting things.
Yeah, I bet. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. What is it?
This is a very recent donation. It was two coins that were put in a wonderful little envelope that were put in a box. And the note on it was from the mother who said, little Johnny swallowed these two coins on November 9th, 1921, and basically pooped them out November 10th. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding.
That's one heck of a museum.
I was hysterical. I mean, we've got baby teeth that have shown up in things. Hair. Human
saving
hair. Lots of hair.
A lot of people did that.
I bought hair stuff. Remember, I bought you hair jewelry last time I came.
It was really repellent.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty weird opening up the little envelope of two little coins.
You know, one of the funniest things, the number here, by the way, is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break and then get to the phones in a moment. One of the funnier moments during the last fund drive. Have you been on since the fund drive?
No.
Somebody called in with a pledge in honor of the Ashtray Museum.
I heard about that. I want to go see it.
And then we looked it up on, I think, Facebook or whatever. It's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's a huge place or whatever, but I think it's out in Amsterdam or Johnstown.
Yeah, someplace out there. Right.
It looks so cool. I got to be honest with you. Do you have ashtrays over at the Hart Clewitt?
We do.
Do you really?
We do. We have some really cool ashtrays, as a matter of fact.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's take a quick break. Then we get to the phones. Kathy Sheehan is here from the Hart Clewitt. We'll be back. Peter Frampton doing the old Soundgarden hit, Black Hole Sun, here on Vox Pop. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551 is the number. Email the program via voxpop@wamc.org. Kathy Sheehan is our guest today, executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City historian. I guess you know this. You've been more involved with the prep for this than I have.
Yeah.
You and I are doing an event.
Yes, we are.
So, a little backstory here. I did a WAMC on the road.
I know you did.
And I still have nightmares about it. I had to cook and bake things, and it was weird.
I promise you won't have to bake.
What are we doing?
So, we're going to do our version of Antiques Roadshow.
You're kidding me. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this was a great idea. Was this your idea?
Yeah.
All right, it was a great idea.
I'm taking credit for this one.
I think this will actually be fun. So what we'll do is the Vox Pop Antique Appraisal on the Road Show, because it's part of the WAMC on the Road series of events. And this is Tuesday, August 26th. And it's at the Hart Clewitt Museum, which is your venue.
Yeah.
And I get, this is pretty amazing. You can find out more. I'll tell you a little bit about it, but you can find out more on our website, wamc.org/WAMC on the road. Just look for the icon and you will find that. This is at the Hart Clewitt Museum. I guess if you want to have your, we have Colin Stair and Lisa Thomas from Stair Galleries who will be appraising antiques.
Yes.
How cool is that?
People can bring in a piece with them.
I can't believe they're coming. I mean, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
And so you'll also show off some of the cool stuff from Hart Clewitt Museum?
Yes.
That's neat.
So you get to just sit back and see all the really cool things, and we get to describe them. You're so good at describing these things. I was like when Darren Tracy's on and you do the tool of the day.
Name that tool. Yeah.
So we're going to be like, wow.
We'll see what happens.
It's
a live event. We'll eventually turn it into a radio show if Kathy Sheehan doesn't swear too much. So I guess the way they have planned it, Peter Hughes, who is producing these events, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., there will be pre-screening for antiques.
Right.
So if you bring an antique, it's just like the Antique Roadshow.
Kind of just like the Antiques Roadshow.
A lot of people bring stuff, and not everybody gets on the...
Right.
And then 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. will be the Vox Pop recording. And then... Who knows what'll happen?
Who knows what'll happen?
But you can find out more at WAMC.org. Just look for WAMC on the road. I'm looking forward to this event.
It's going to be fun. And I'm so glad you're going to come across the river and come over and see us in Troy.
I love it over there. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. That's the number. We'll go to Patricia in Schenectady. Hello, Patricia.
Hello. It's great to hear. It's really neat to actually have, the... town historian, the city historian on air with you guys.
Yeah.
Question. Sorry, you hear dismissal going on in the background.
That's okay.
Sounds like my house.
the preservation you know, like how-to sheets. I know that there are a couple of different like museums or organizations where like you should be able to find them online. Does your museum have one of those? Like, where would that sort of information be, and how can we use that kind of like in classrooms?
So that's a great question, Patricia. Thanks for calling. There's a few places. One of the acronym be SHPO. It's the State Historic Preservation Office, which is they're located on Peebles Island and just between Cohoes and Waterford over there, just up on the other side of the river from Troy. And if you go to their website, there's a whole preservation package. Things like, do you want to get your house on the National Register, for instance? There's what they call blue forms that you can fill out. Are you looking to get tax credits to help with doing restoration on your house, like window restoration or things like that. That's one of the real common ones. That's also on that. The Preservation League of New York State is another great website to look at. They also have all of them have great tips and tools that link you to. And I'll go back to the windows. They're just as one. Like how to do that. How do you restore wood windows? You know, if you got 12 over 12 windows and you need to pull the old pulleys out, and how to get the old take care of the original glass that's so wonderful in these historic buildings. So I would start with the SHPO offices first, the New York State Offices of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation.
Okay, Patricia.
Okay. Awesome. And one more thing about the hair, because I heard you guys mention that.
Yeah.
The use of hair in the memorials, of using it in jewelry and enshrining it in crystal. That was always one of the odd little things that I found interesting about historical things.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Thank you very much for your answer.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Chris in Sand Lake. Chris, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering if there is a connection or what the connection might be between Troy or Rensselaer County and the Underground Railroad. I'll just hang up and listen to the answer.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. There's a lot of
Chris, that's
there.
A great question. And there is a huge connection on the Underground Railroad, particularly out to Sand Lake. As a matter of fact, the Baptist Church that sits on the hill right in Averill Park was a documented site on the Underground Railroad. And, a lot of the Baptist ministers that were there in the antebellum period in the 19th century were instrumental in helping the freedom seekers, work their way up to Canada. But a lot of people were here. And, of course, one of the most famous stories is the rescue of Charles Nall, who actually worked for Horace Averill as a coachman in Sand Lake in Averill Park. And he ended up eventually coming into Troy, and he was captured under the Fugitive Slave Act.
Huh.
And then, there was a whole group of people that, helped to rescue him. Coming out of Troy, and he ends up hiding out over in Niskayuna, and ultimately goes to Canada, but then he comes back. It's that conduit going out Route 66 and then over to Massachusetts, which also was very abolitionist friendly as well.
Well, thank you for that one, and appreciate the call. Some breaking news here, really sad. Ozzy Osbourne died.
Oh,
76. Heavy 76. Metal singer with Black Sabbath and a guy who was sort of underrated as a singer. I think I was listening to some Sabbath a couple days ago, and I was remarking, I'm like, he had some pipes back in the day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Well, Ozzy, all right, rest in peace, my friend. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Let's go to David in Charlottesville, New York. David, you're on.
Hi.
Howdy.
Glad to be here. When I heard about this, Ashtray Museum.
Yeah.
It's not the one I was thinking of. There's an Ashtray Museum out here in Schoharie County in West Fulton, which is this lovely, tiny little town not far from us here in Charlottesville.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I'd like to know about it.
No, that's the one I was thinking of. I mean, I think somebody made a pledge in honor of that, and we looked it up. And yeah, I think that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
we looked at the pictures. It's really cool. You been there, David?
Yeah. I've been by it. I have yet to get in. I don't know why. I've just been too busy running around. So
you have to put it on your bucket list.
So where is it? It's in Fulton?
West Fulton.
West Fulton.
West Fulton, which is not far from Middleburg, down the road from Cobleskill.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
You know, if I went, do you think that they'd let me use the ashtrays?
I think they probably not.
Probably not. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ed writes in to voxpop@wamc.org. Ray was kidding about his lint collection to donate, but if it was leftover material from one of Troy's past shoddy factories, that would be interesting.
Yes, it would.
What was shoddy about
so that? That was kind of the leftover material. And actually, if you've driven up 787, which many of you have, and you're listening, wonderful listening area, there's a building just south of the business district that looks like a castle, looks like a fortress. And that they made shoddy, which was a, and you almost say, you know, when you hear that expression, you know, it's made of shoddy material.
Yeah,
it's the scrum. It's
so
the leftovers.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing, and they would take that and reboil it up, and all these different things, literally picking stuff up sometimes out of alleys from the rag pickers, belt ends of materials at all these, you know, think about all these collar factories that were around here. And then they would turn it into making other fabric.
I think that's genius.
Yeah. Shoddy.
Yeah. This email, and the number, by the way, is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Kathy Sheehan, Executive Director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and Rensselaer County and Troy City Historian. This one's from Peggy. Peggy writes, I'm doing research on Charles Fort, an Albany native who died in 1932 and is buried in Albany Rural Cemetery with his family. He wrote several books about unexplained phenomena and oddities that were dismissed by science, alien spacecraft, mysterious disappearances, things falling from the sky, like fish falling from the sky, the supernatural. A lot of his papers are at the New York Public Library, but I wonder if you know anyone who might know an expert who might have info on him, or if there are any archives or resources about him in the Albany-Troy area.
Oh, this is why I love to be on the show, because, see, this is the learn something new every day. it's the best part of my job, Peggy. I have not heard of him.
Oh,
but, I think this would be really interesting. And here, I'll give you a little tip.
Yep.
Is go to our favorite new, kind of new, website, FultonHistory.com, which is a free newspaper database, and plug his name in and see if while he was writing the books that he was kind of reporting maybe on whatever these phenomena that were happening. And I will guarantee you that some of that's going to show up.
He was such a character. Now, I know
a bit
about
this
guy.
You know a bit about this
Somebody
guy.
Somebody stole my complete works of Charles Fort. Long gone. I haven't been able to read. He wrote in a very sort of obtuse style.
Yeah.
And it was tough to get through. But
I wonder if he did small stories that he submitted to the papers, because that would have been pretty common at the time.
I believe he was a reporter in the very beginning in New York City. He was born in Albany. There's a biography of this guy, and he was such a character that I'm amazed nobody has made a movie about his life.
Wow. Well, see, now I got to go look him up.
Charles Fort, F-O-R-T. So, Peggy, they can't help you there, but there is a great bio on him. And
But go to FultonHistory.com.
Okay.
And look him up, Peggy. Yeah.
800-348-2551. That is the number to call if you have a question for our historian today, Kathy Sheehan. And let's go to Sharon in Lansingburg. Sharon, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Kathy, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I heard you all bring up Antiques Roadshow, because that was what I was dialing about.
No way.
And I remember when the Lansingburg Historical Society some years ago had one. Actually, they had two.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone there in the studio know or remember whether Public Television's Antiques Roadshow ever came to the Capital Region? I've lived in the Capital Region over 30 years, and I have no recollection of them ever coming here, in spite of, you know, we go back so many hundreds of years. I'm just shocked that I don't think they have. Does anybody know?
Hi, Sharon. I don't remember them, at least certainly not in the last 30 years that I... Now, we actually did, like Lansingburg Historical, we also sponsored one where we had Skinners from Boston came in. And we did that probably about 25 years ago. And we did it for a couple of years. You know, these things kind of run their course a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't ever remember actually PBS, you know, the National and coming in.
Well, to be clear, Sharon, the event that Kathy and I are going to do August 26th is not the Antique Roadshow. We do not want to get sued. It's the WAMC On the Road version of that. Now, interestingly, Colin Stair and Lisa Thomas will be appraising people's antiques at this event. Lisa Thomas has done many Antique Roadshows over the years. She has been on several of them. I believe maybe they shot them in the Washington, D.C. area or something, but she has been on. So if you get a chance and you come, they come on this show as well. So if you ever if you ever hear when they are on, feel free to call up and ask Lisa about that. I know she's been on several times.
Sure.
Okay.
At the end of August, when you do this at the Hart Clewitt, will you be accepting donations in return for the appraisals?
All the details about it are on WAMC.org. You can just click on the icon at WAMC On the Road, and you can find out more about it. We're just announcing this today, so it's very, very exciting. Thank you for the call, 800-348-2551. You know, you mentioned before we started, Kathy, the America 250 is coming up. You guys got to be gearing up at the Hart Clewitt.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we're the exhibit, you know, we always do an exhibit every year at the Scaghtikoke Fair. So the exhibit this year is going to be on Henry Knox and the Knox Trail.
Yeah.
And he brought all the cannons down from Ticonderoga, and they came down, of course, through Lake George, and all the counties crossed over from Albany into southern Rensselaer County in what is now the city of Rensselaer. So we'll be doing an event at Cralo.
That's amazing.
In January. And then they went out 9 and 20 and then crossed into Massachusetts, where ultimately they end up in. And they did this in the dead of winter.
And how long did it take to get from?
Oh, my God. It started in, like, December. I mean, this is all through the winter. And they end up in March, I think, something like that. I think it's in March.
Those poor
horses. Just in time for the battle.
I know the revolution was great. I'm very happy about the outcome, but, I mean, those poor horses.
And this is a 25-year-old kid. Henry Knox is 25 years old. I think that's been the really interesting thing about, you know, going back and looking at the American Revolution. I'm looking at things from a couple angles. We're doing this for the exhibit for the fair, and we're going to have the kids in the BOCES program and in Saratoga made two sledges. And so one of the sledges will be at the fair.
Amazing.
So they'll get to see a replica of what these looked like. And then the linstock, you know, the thing that they had to actually light the cannons with, is a big long stick. We'll have that at Cralo. I'm not going to have that at the exhibit, but I'll have all the markers. I've been out photographing the markers that are in Rensselaer. You see them all over the place. I mean, when you're all the way, like, again, from Ticonderoga, you follow them down Route 9 and into Waterford and through Saratoga and down in Albany. And then we have the ones going up. There's one right over the bridge in 787, then all the way out 9 and 20. And so it's a lot. It's going to be very cool. But it just made me think about these guys. They were these revolutionaries. They were kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Stepping up.
Stepping up.
When
Alexander Hamilton was 21 years old. I mean, look at the founding fathers. James Monroe, 18. Aaron Burr is 20. The old timers were Paul Revere, who was an old age at 41. George Washington was only 44.
Yeah.
Yeah. The really old guys were Ben Franklin. He was 70 years old.
Yeah. But, you know, he lived young, though.
He did live young. But these were, we had this image of them all with the powdered wigs and that they're old. They were young.
Yeah.
They were young people doing this, which is really cool.
It's amazing. And you think about, and I'm not casting aspersions upon today's youth, and I have 5 children of my own.
Right.
I'm not casting aspersions, but if you think about today's,
can you imagine doing that?
21-year-olds are going to topple the king.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
the number to call here is 800-348-2551. And Kathy Sheehan is our guest here. We'll take a break in a moment. Christopher wrote in, apparently it has rained fish. If a tornado travels over a body of water, it can pick up fish if they are near the surface and toss them for miles.
Huh.
I believe Chris is correct.
Wow.
And on that happy note, we'll take a quick break. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's History Today with Kathy Sheehan from the Hart Clewitt. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551. I guess you have to put the one in front of it. Someone said, I tried it without the one, and I had trouble. So if you don't get through, try 1-800-348-255. I don't know how it works.
Hit the one.
1-800-348-2551. Catherine Sheehan is here, the Rensselaer County and Troy City Historian. Now, I said Rensselaer County. Earlier, I said Rensselaer County. Here's an email from Frank. Frank, I feel your pain, brother. I've traveled all over the Hudson Valley and have heard all kinds of pronunciations. Can you please set the record straight? What is the correct pronunciation for this county? I've heard it pronounced Rensselaer. Some people say Rensselaer. Others say Rensselaer. I've also heard Rensselaer. Please help us. Which is it and why is it so hard? And before you do that, we've had this talk in the newsroom. There are those in the newsroom that I respect greatly who say the city is pronounced one way and the county is the other way.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely ludicrously dumb. What's the answer?
There isn't one.
Aha.
It is. I have gone down the school of the county is Rensselaer. The city is Rensselaer.
That's what these people in the newsroom tell me.
And I think this is just, it's kind of, you know, it's like when you're over in Boston, you know, and you're going to pack the cat.
What do you say? You're the expert.
I say Rensselaer.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
The city. I say the city of Rensselaer.
Yeah.
And it's Rensselaer County.
Oh, you do it that way.
I do it that way. I do differentiate, but.
So Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Right.
But not Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Well, then you have Rensselaer. Well, no, see, and that's, I say Rensselaer. Rensselaer is, I kind of just always say city. Everything else is Rensselaer.
But
like Rensselaer Polytechnic.
So that's in Troy. No.
Yeah, Rensselaer Poly is in Troy.
Okay, so
yeah.
It would be for the county.
Yeah, so.
All right, let's call the whole thing off.
I know. You're never going to come out good on that one.
Tomato, tomato. Chris is in Housatonic. Chris, hello.
Yeah, Kathy, have you two ever been to the Daytona Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Smithsonian in Washington?
I have not. Is there something related to Rensselaer County there?
No, it's just like a museum that people should go to and see. It's a air museum.
Yeah, a lot of great Air Force Base.
Oh,
there,
I love it. Yeah. Well, of course, we have here in Schenectady those, if you don't. Not going to be traveling to down to Washington. Go over to Scotia, where there's the aeronautics museum they have in the Schenectady near the Schenectady airport. It's phenomenal. Yeah,
there are so many. Thanks for the call, Chris. There are so many cool concepts for museums. We go to Southern Maine almost every summer when we can afford it. Coming back through just I think it's on the New Hampshire side on the 1A bypass.
Mm-hmm.
Is this nuclear sub museum, and it was the first experimental nuclear sub. It's near the Portsmouth Naval Yards.
Yeah,
I want to go in so badly, but every time we go by it, we're on the way home, and I say, I'm too tired. But it must be a cool museum.
We did that one time coming over from Cape Cod, and our son said, I'm never traveling with you guys again, because at that point he was like 16. He goes, okay, I'm done. We can't go to Louisa May Alcott's house. We stopped at we went to see Plymouth Rock. We did all this like stuff to go roam Route 2 instead of coming back on the highway. And when he got to, you know, around Concord, he's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I threatened my family. I said, we're going to Salem, New Hampshire, where so-called America's Stonehenge is.
Yeah.
Have you heard about
this? Yes, I have. And I know you love all those natural feature things.
But I think that I'm a little skeptical of the provenance of this particular old set of stones.
The kids might say, that's it, Dad. We're done with this.
I was completely outvoted. Let's go to East Greenbush. Harlan, you're on. Hello? Are you there?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Let me turn my radio down.
You
I
got
never
it.
Figure that out.
Yeah,
like the whole Rensselaer thing.
Oh, I know, right?
But two things. I believe that Desmond had the Antiques Roadshow there quite a few years back.
Uh-huh.
Because my mother, lives at 99 and a half, and it's got tons of stuff, and we never got there. Forgetting about that, I want to talk about the Underground Railroad. So I had my first houses in Burnt Hills, and my son was playing with his friend in this backyard of a really old, a manor house in Burnt Hills. And the kid fell through the ground into literally a room that was the Underground Railroad, apparently. So my question is, how much did it go through Burnt Hills, Galway? Every time I go through there, I torture my family. You know, this is the Underground Railroad route between Albany and I don't know where, maybe Northville. But I've always been curious about that, how far it went. You know, is there an actual map between, you know, Boston Lake and I guess Northville, Galway?
Well, so I think what you have to remember, Harlan, is that this Underground Railroad is a network of people's houses, and some are documented well, and then there's other things like you hear about stories of like what happened to your son, which he probably just fell into some sort of a root cellar or something like that would have happened. Actual tunnels, a lot of this myth that has come around. But absolutely these link of houses and things certainly went up north through Saratoga County, for sure, up into Saratoga, Washington, and then up into Essex County and, of course, up to the Canadian border. So they would have been through towns like Burnt Hills. But there isn't really because, for one, especially once the Fugitive Slave Acts were enacted, it did go underground. You weren't talking about it as much. Now, there are a lot of vigilant committees that were around, so you can associate things with some of the local churches that were nearby. And so they might have had vigilant committee meetings. And so you would kind of assume that people within neighborhoods within the vicinity of the church, some of them might have been had a safe house, and what generally the freedom seekers had to do is, you know, you're going basically from this house to house, and people would write letters and things like that, and a lot of those don't survive. There are a few, but so it's pretty interesting, but it does make it harder because you have to find, you know, is there a notice in someone's journal and diaries? That's why people's writings are so important to hang on to and to read their diaries, because you glean this kind of information from these different people that lived in some of these houses. It's a great question.
So there's a really, you know, I just thought about it. I had a manager years ago who grandparents or family had the house we used to call the Adams Family House on East Line Road between exit 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there forever. And he used to tell me they would go into these tunnels underneath the house, and, you know, they'd be told you can't do that, they could collapse. But he always swore there was a tunnel between roughly Round Lake and, I would assume, Burnt Hills that actually went under his ancestor's house.
That's a long tunnel.
To play in.
Yeah.
He said they would get, you know, they'd get stopped, and, you know, they're, you know, I think it was his grandparents would be like, stop, get out of there.
Wow.
You know, it could collapse. I forgot about that, but that was a famous story he told me.
There's,
and he said he swore it was Underground Railroad tunnels.
Yeah. They probably were really more, you know, sometimes there was small, again, they were to be able to store food and things to keep things cold.
Yeah.
What is interesting, there are documented sites of like false doors and things like our Knickerbocker Mansion Historical Society, which is up in Scaghtikoke, which is an incredible 1750s house. They actually have it's documented. They were helping freedom seekers, and there's an actual fake door.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is. And you could see the little tiny room where they would, you know, hold and hide these freedom seekers until it was safe. Building tunnels didn't make sense because you don't know what it's a lot of effort and a lot of money to go through and not have things collapse. So,
well, we know there are tunnels that they may have well predated those.
Right.
Like those tunnels in Germany. You ever see, I forget what they call them, but there are these network of tunnels in Germany. They're fairly small. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows what they were for and when they actually.
Yeah, my favorite ones are the people that say they always have them. And yes, and the tunnels that go to the river. Well, that means the river then is flooding that tunnel.
Yes.
And you're assuming that people can, A, swim, and B, that they were big enough that they could, that the water wasn't going to be in there.
That is.
Or it goes over to the falls. There's one that's the famous story about going to the falls and the Postakill Falls. Well, now you're going to go right over the falls. So I think a lot of it is associated with myth, but the important part is the people that were helping these people through their houses, and maybe they held up in a barn or something like that, or did hide out in some root cellars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kathy
sure.
Sheehan is our guest today, executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City historian. And, you know, speaking of false doors, we have to get back to the phones, but maybe next show, can we talk a little bit about Prohibition and some of the speakeasies and some of the, that would be fun.
That would be fun. I'll add it right on my calendar because I have fun stuff about Prohibition.
Okay, let's do that. Let's go to Ted in Ulster. Ted, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering if you could add to my knowledge of Brownie's Indian Sales.
Brownie Vitar.
Motorcycle mechanic.
Yeah. So how long ago was that? 20s, 30s?
70s, 80s.
Oh, okay. So is not original, early motorcycles. Okay, I don't know anything
Both.
About it.
No, you both. Second one today we've been stumped on.
Yeah.
Were they down in Ulster County?
He was under the egg.
Really?
Originally.
Ah.
He moved to Rensselaer.
Interesting.
Oh, and then he moved to Rensselaer.
80
okay.
years. Wow. So, 80 years. 80 years an Indian mechanic.
So when they, in the 60s, they tore up all those old neighborhoods, he made the trek
Correct.
Across the river. So interesting. Well, that's
Correct.
One to look up,
too. Oh, that one I got to look up. That's great.
Ted, thank you for that.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Keith in Glenville. Keith, you're on.
Hi. My sister was researching a novel, or to write a novel on Jane McCrae, and I was wondering why Fort Edward in this area in general either doesn't so much celebrate that, or I don't know if celebrate's the correct word, but it's hard to find all the monuments that are in the area, and I know so few people around here, when you mentioned Jane McCrae, really don't know any of the background behind that story and why that's the case.
Yeah, I know some of those historic markers there are. The New York State Historic Marker, you know, the blue and yellow ones. I know there's a few over on the east side of the river coming out of Saratoga. You know, of course, there was a massacre that happened during that time with Jane McCrae. Some of those maybe have disappeared. I would contact my counterpart, who is Lauren Roberts. She's the Saratoga County historian, and I'm sure she might. They've had a great office there in Boston. They're located in Boston Spa, and so they have a good resources there, for you to get more information about what was going on up there with that.
Well, the thing is, we were actually able to track down almost everything we need to find. What was interesting, though, is what my question is I was wondering why you thought it might be that so few people in this area, just in general, really have no history background around all the circumstances around that entire situation. I'll hang up now and let you guys
All right, Keith, thanks a lot.
I think that's true for a lot of different things. You know, this is a funny one. We did a Man on the Street thing about Uncle Sam. Too, and people are like, who? And they had no clue that there was a real person behind it. There was Samuel Wilson and stuff. And they're like, oh, it must have been some sort of, you know, Civil War general or something. A lot of I think you know what it is? There's so many stories.
Yeah.
There's so many things that have gone in this just Capital Region area that you just listen. And again, I say this many times on there. The best thing is I learned something new every single solitary day.
How do you keep it all in your head? You're so smart. You have so much information.
Well, you don't. I mean, well, you do, but you try to. But at least it jogs your memory again. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because I remember looking at Jay McCrae, the historic. That's why historic markers are so important. You know, the Pomeroy Foundation markers are wonderful because
the blue
you're driving. Yeah, the blue and yellow.
And these are state, though, right?
They are. That is the Pomeroy Foundation is a private foundation. They help to fund that. But what you do. So you have a great story. So you want to say like the motorcycle guy, that's a Rensselaer, and you want to mark that. You find out where his place was
under the
like
egg.
That.
Where are you gonna put it? Well, under the egg,
or even when he moved to Troy, and if he did some really unusual kinds of things that were improvements on motorcycle stuff. So all you have to do is give the facts though, and so then like okay, and then they'll approve the marker, and then they pay to have the marker. Made.
Now, I love those more than just about everything, but I wish the font was bigger.
You have to go around the block.
I'm in danger of being in car accidents because I'm trying to read these things, and I want to read every single one.
Yep. You and me both.
All right, let's go to Hudson very quickly here. Austin, you're on.
Hey there. Thanks, y'all. So I've got a house. My home is built in 1790 in Stuyvesant area, Columbia County. So I'm wondering... This summer side project is basically to try and find out everything I can about the history of it, just because it'd be a fun project. What are the resources you'd like to guide me to? Thank you so much.
Okay.
I would send you over to the Columbia County Historical Society. Stuyvesant, by the way, is a great little town. I love Stuyvesant. Really amazing houses. I would send them over to the Columbia County Historical Society. And then I would go also to the Albany County Hall of Records, because remember, all these Albany County, Columbia County, Rensselaer County, all were parts of Albany County at different times. And so I would check, especially early records like that, I would go to the Hall of Records, which is on 95 Tivoli Street in downtown Albany.
All right, Austin, thanks a lot. We only have 30 seconds here, but Dee's been waiting a while. Dee, can you make it very quick?
Yes, thank you so much.
You bet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have paintings in my home that my late father-in-law did, and they are absolutely wonderful paintings, and I'm just wondering if you can guide me to any person or place. I heard that people take things and then, you know, they keep them in storage and whatever. I would love to get these paintings out into the world.
Yeah. Thanks, Dee. I think it's going to depend on what they are. If they're landscapes or portraits and things, and what area you're living in. You would want to start with your local historical society first, and then go from there.
All right, good talk to you. Good luck with that, and of course you can always give a call the next time we do an antiques show. All right, Kathy Sheehan, this was a fast hour.
Wow, super fast.
All right, if people want to find out more about the Hart Cluett, how do they do that?
Best thing is go to our website, which is HARTCLUETT.org. And again, we are located in downtown Troy in the historic district on 2nd Street. And we are open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have all sorts of programs, exhibitions, lots of things coming up,
and
including
my lint collection,
which I'm bringing. Yes, exactly. No. The lint collection.
And I guess, you know, if you want to find out more about the August 26th event at the Hart Cluett with yours truly and with Kathy Sheehan and with the folks from the Stair Galleries, you can go to WAMC.org and click on the WAMC on the road icon. And you'll find out all about it. Support comes from the Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, presenting Bluegrass Open House 2025, a night of live music and jamming with Bluegrass campers and staff, Thursday, August 7th, 7:30 p.m., ashokancenter.org. Acres, ACRES, Alden Country Real Estate Services, a holistic transactional real estate brokerage serving the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts, berkshireacres.com for information. And Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live and age gracefully with dignity and respect, daughtersofsarah.org. Thanks again to Kathy Sheehan for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we welcome Glenn Kreisberg, an author, outdoor guide, an RF engineer. He researches archaeoastronomy and landscape archaeology in the Hudson Valley and Catskill Mountains of New York. That's tomorrow at 2. Should be an interesting one. We'll see you for that.